We are delighted to come back to you. I have explained this very strange accent to you before on a number of occasions. Both my wife and I were born in Africa, and we grew up there, and this is the way we murdered the King's English there. So I hope you can all get the words that I'm saying, and we want to thank you. As you heard, we have been connected with you for a very, very long time. We came to Canada in 1962. We got married. Actually, we came to Canada in 1960, and we first visited you in just after our first furlough in 1967. So our association with this church dates all the way back to 1967, and we knew a lot about you before that because we were in contact with folk who were members here. And so we thank you for the long, long time that you have stood with us in prayer, in support. We went through war. We went through drought. We went through all kinds of calamity. We didn't think we were going to live on a number of occasions, and the Lord very mercifully spared our lives, and he gave us the joy of service that went on and on right to the end. Our last trip to Africa was this year. We went in March, and we got caught up with COVID in Africa, and a lot of the plans that we had for moving about were very badly messed up. And then we couldn't get out of Africa because of COVID, and all the planes weren't flying. Remember those days? And by the grace of God, we were able to spend 3 months there and then get a flight back. I want to read to you from the Word of God. It's actually from Daniel chapter 4. So if you have a Bible and you'd like to follow along, I'm going to start in a rather unusual place in verse 30. The king of Babylon, a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, was speaking. And this is what he said. He said, "Is this not the great Babylon, which I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people. You will eat grass like an animal." And immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. "At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and with the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything that he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. It's an amazing passage of scripture, and I hope it becomes very, very meaningful for you as we consider the exposition for today. Daniel is a man that I really am longing to meet. And as heaven gets nearer for us, and we will be going there, I believe that we will have the most amazing fellowship with people that you and I have been reading in the Word of God, people who looked like they were long ago and far away. Suddenly heaven will bring them right here, right now. And we'll be together and we'll be able to talk. So, you know, it's worthwhile studying your Bible. It's worthwhile reading it every year, all the way through. And then if you've got time, start again and do it again and again, because we've been doing it for all these years and it's got richer and more beautiful as time has gone by. And our fellowship with the Lord, with the King of all kings, is still so deep and so precious. We believe that the Lord has not retracted his commission. He said way, way back in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every single ethnic grouping. Learn their language. Learn their culture. Identify closely with them. And that's what the Lord led us to do. And we went. And we became as fluent in their language as we are in English. And we shared the Word of God. And we taught them. And we saw God raising up leaders in Africa. And now they are multiplied. And there is no way of us knowing the numbers that there are now as they have taken off in ministry around the world. Some of them actually coming back to Canada and ministering in Canada. So Daniel and his friends were prepared for service. He learned all the wisdom of Babylon. The king made sure of that. He was the close counselor of the king, and the king and Daniel got on very, very well. It wasn't just he was the king and Daniel hardly dared speak. He and the king were very close together in their fellowship, and they loved one another. And you can see it as you read through this word. of the Lord. And as you go through the book of Daniel, in the second chapter, you find that he is a man who is a dreamer. He's always having a new dream. And he would put some very heavy burdens upon his wise men. He would say to them, if you are as wise as you say you are, if you are in touch with God, then ask him what my dream was about. I'm not going to tell you the dream. You've got to tell me. And when the wise men were not able to tell him, they were all condemned to death. And Daniel was not there at the time. He wasn't dealing with the king. He was in a far part of their empire. And when Daniel heard that he was going to lose his life because of the decree of the king, he decided to go back to him and ask him for time. And then he went back to the king. And the two truths that I want to share with you today are, first of all, about a picture that the king Nebuchadnezzar saw. He saw this picture of a statue. It was huge. It was on the plain of Dura, and he organized a day when all the people would be there, and as soon as the music began to play, all the people were to bow down and worship the statue, worship this king, Nebuchadnezzar. And you didn't dare disobey. But there were people there. There were Jewish young people, Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. And they didn't bow, because they had the word of God, and the word of God said, you never ever to bow to any god or to any idol, never. And the king threatened them, and he said, well, don't you know that I've got the power to kill you? And they said to him, you could have no power over us unless it was given to you by God. And then they explained to the king what what he had seen in his dream. The dream he refused to share. The first one, he refused to share. He was able to tell the king exactly what it was all about. And then it came to the statue. And the statue was more like a nightmare than anything for the king, because he was the head of gold of that statue, and then a stone came up. And that stone was the son of the living God, Jesus. And he came up during the time when Rome was ruling. And the vision that he had seen started in Babylon, and then it went to the Medes and the Persians, and then it went to the Greeks, and then it went to the Romans. And so it came to the very time of Jesus Christ, a period of over 600 years. And God was giving Daniel the wisdom to know not just the history for that day that they were in, but what God was going to be doing in bringing a savior into this world, and how he would then, through this Savior, Jesus Christ, reach out to the uttermost parts of the world. And oh, I wish I could share with you all the things that we've been involved in, and we've worked very closely with the International Justice Mission. They're a mission that are looking out for little children, boys and girls who get caught up and taken into slavery, child sex slavery. It is a multi-billion dollar industry today. It's here in Canada, and you won't hear about it, but it's here. It's operating. And they don't want to be found out, but they're operating. And they are as ugly as hell. And many of the kids that get caught up in this lose their lives in the process. And so it's something that is just going on now. This king he said, the statue is telling of your power. And the king had two ways that he was going. He was going with God in a good way, but it was after he had spent many years in saying, is not this the great Babylon I have built? And until he got to the position where he was able to say, I didn't build this great Babylon. I am not in charge of international affairs that he thought he was, but God is in charge. And when he understood that it was God who was in charge, God was able to use him. I don't know if you can imagine Daniel, a young Jewish boy, a man who was given great wisdom and great insight and a great love for this king. And he came alongside and he was able to explain the statue. And he was able to get Nebuchadnezzar through that particular period of his life. And he was able to see into the future, and he was able to predict the coming of successive kingdoms that would come to this world. He saw a tree, and he says to Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 22 of chapter 4, you, O king, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to different parts of the earth. And then he says, there came an instruction. While that tree was blooming, it was a blessing. Nebuchadnezzar was a blessing while that tree was blooming. And then an instruction came, cut it down. And when that tree was cut down, Nebuchadnezzar went into a place where he couldn't understand. He became insane. He ate grass like the animals all around him. And he lived in his own zoo, his own garden, and until the time when his sanity was restored and he was brought back. And then it came to the end of his life where he was able to say these words. In verse 36, at the time, the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Part of the service that we had, we served in Zimbabwe, and we learned the language there, and it was called Chimanyika, and we learned to speak very fluently and preach and teach in it, and we saw the Lord enabling us to plant churches. And we saw those churches, and now those churches have planted many more churches, not only in Zimbabwe, but they have crossed the border into Mozambique, and now they have gone to other parts of Africa. And the word of God is just spreading. And we are standing in absolute amazement and thankfulness to God. The leader of our country was a man by the name of Robert Mugabe. And many of you will remember him. He has not been in power for a long time now, but he was given the most amazing opportunities to be a blessing in his country. And we can remember sending a delegation to him where the plea was that he would, because we'd had 3 years of drought and absolutely no rain for those 3 years, we sent a delegation to Robert Mugabe and we said, please, please, sir, could you please call our whole nation together for one day of prayer? You name the day and then we will organize it so that the whole country comes together on that day. And he said, I will never do a thing like that. And the drought went on. And not only were the animals dying, the cattle and the sheep and the goats, but now people began to die. And we will never forget that drought. It was a drought that persevered and it just went on and it passed the 4-year mark and it passed until one day Robert Mugabe said, okay, I will give you one day, but if by that day nothing happens and there's no rain, then we will know that your God is dead. And so he appointed the day. We still had about 6 weeks to go to get to that day. And during that time, we were meeting all of the African peoples and missionaries, Christians from all of there. They were all meeting in 5:30 early morning prayer meetings. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we asked God to prepare our hearts and to have mercy upon our country. And as that day approached, we knew the date and I'll never forget the day. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And we woke up, and at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I went outside, and way off in the horizon, I saw a little cloud, just a tiny little cloud. And my heart leapt. And I said, God is going to do something. God is here, and he's going to visit us. And people all over the country, all the Christians, when they saw the cloud, they began to praise. We weren't praying for rain anymore. We were praising God that he was sending it. And at 4 o'clock that afternoon, it started to rain. And from that day, it rained every day. And it was such an exact thing. If by that day nothing happens, I will know. It was like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Do you remember? And there was a test for Elijah. But he was the only one, when he prayed, the fire of God fell. And in our day, the rain of God fell. And it was just as clear a lesson for us as it had been for the people in Elijah's day. And I'm so glad today that our God is reigning. And he's the rock. He's the rock that when that statue was erected, it represented not only Babylon, but it represented all the nations that would go all the way up to Jesus Christ. And then the rock that was born was Jesus. And he smashed the feet, the legs of that statue. And it came tumbling down. And from there, the word of God was printed. It was translated into thousands of languages. And we went with that word of God. And we've been watching over all the years of our lives and ministry. We've been watching our great God make the church in Africa stronger, the church in Asia stronger, in Latin America stronger, with missionary forces that we could only have dreamt about. And now they are mobilized and they are moving out. And if you think that the Great Commission is completed, you're wrong. Our God is still calling people and saying, I want you to go. I want you to prepare yourselves. I want you to study to make yourselves approved to God. Work men and work women who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to then take this word of mine, and I want you to go. You know, sometimes we have found, as missionaries who have gone, we have found that in our ministry in Canada, it may be harder here than it is there. Not because it's physically harder, it's physically easy in Canada, but spiritually hard. And so the Lord has to enable us to be able to become fishers of men, fishers of women. We need to have a heart for children. We need to have a vision that God gives so that we never stop the spread of his word. Until he comes, his commission stands. And when he comes, it will all be complete and finished. And people from every single tongue, every tribe, every nation will gather and we will be there. And we need to prepare for that day. And we can only prepare by becoming participators in the outreach to the uttermost part of the world. And so for Daniel, he saw a statue and he saw a tree. And the tree represented Nebuchadnezzar as well. And it grew very big and he had influence. The tree was a blessing to not just Babylon, but to many, many nations. And then the tree was cut down. The time comes when it's over and we are complete and we face the Lord and we have to answer for what we have done with the command that he's given us. We attended this church way back in 1967. And I can't even remember where we were meeting. It certainly wasn't in here. But we attended this Cloverdale church. And we watched the vision grow. And they sent out more and more missionaries. And we watched people go from here to the ends of the earth. And you should study your history. It's a good one. And you should pray that the Lord would lead you to see what he has for this year. What should we be doing in this at this particular time of history? Zimbabwe went on to become a very, very well evangelized country. And it is. But because of the conduct of the leader, whenever they had an election, they just declared that they were the winners, and the people, 100% of the people, except the grouping around them, who had voted for somebody else to come in, they were kept out of power. And to this day, he has had influence in that land. But the Lord has had greater influence. And we're so thankful. Many of you will know of Chris and Nancy Maposa. They've been here. And they have shared their vision for children. They have a program now called Today for Tomorrow. T for T, which reaches into 9 different countries now. It has reached across all kinds of borders, and we have hundreds of thousands of children who have been introduced to faith in Jesus Christ. And then as soon as they know how to lead a person to Jesus Christ, they are mobilized and they go and they start winning people for Jesus Christ. And then we have noticed that it got right out of hand. We could no longer organize it. It was in God's hands, and in God's hands it spread, and it is still spreading. And so we thank God for the amazing time that God has given us in that country and the way it has become a missionary nation and spreading the word of God all around the world. While we were in Zimbabwe, we had a conference. I should check my program. What time do we finish? At what time were we supposed to finish?
Another 5 minutes.
About another 5? Okay. I'll just end with this particular thing. We had a stratified evangelism in Zimbabwe. And we reached every factory, every school, every college, universities. We reached every part of society. We went into the whole country. And we did evangelism for a number of weeks. And then a man, a very special man, came in and we had him speak to the whole country. And we said, okay, we're reaching the country, but what about Robert Mugabe? So we had a presidential breakfast in the best hotel in the country. And we invited on a very beautifully an invitation to the president and to his whole cabinet to come to the best hotel in the country, and we would give them this breakfast. And we did a lot of research, and we found that there was a man that Robert Mugabe went to university with, and we investigated the life of that man, and we found that he had become a Christian. So we phoned him up, and we said, we have this presidential breakfast in here in Zimbabwe. Would you come? And would you speak? Robert Mugabe and his whole cabinet will be there. And he came. And I will never forget the day. And when he came in, when the speaker came in, Robert Mugabe was already seated. And Robert Mugabe saw him, and he was so excited that he got up and he did something very unpresidential. He bear hugged this man. They had been at university together. They had been fellow communists together. They had decided that they would take Zimbabwe and then Angola and then Mozambique and then North Africa and the southern part of Africa for communism. And they were very excited. But this man, the man he was so close to, had now become a Christian. And Robert Mugabe bear hugged him. And then when the time came in that meeting, he got up to speak. And I have never, ever in a meeting seen a man who was more almost persuaded than Robert Mugabe. He was sort of wanting to go, wanting to give, wanting to repent, wanting to turn. But who am I? I'm the president of this country. And pride took over, and he held back. And to this day, he holds back. But oh, we saw cabinet ministers, we saw wives, we saw Sally Mugabe, his wife, coming to Jesus. We saw fruit that abounded, and we are so thankful to God. And here we are in Canada, and do you know that Personal evangelism has become a very, very important thing, especially in COVID days, as we cannot move out as we used to move. May the Lord give you the ability to cultivate relationships with your neighbors, with friends, and may He give you the courage, and may He give you the understanding of how to present. You know, many people say, I don't know how. But as soon as they learn how to do it, they feel so much more confident about doing it. And so may the Lord give you that courage and enable you to break through. As Daniel broke through and reached out to King Nebuchadnezzar and led him to faith in God, I pray that God will enable you to break through and learn how to do it and learn how to come alongside and how to nurture and care for those who He wants to bring in. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity of sharing with you. We have so appreciated you getting an old man to come and speak again, and I trust that you haven't been bored to tears, and I trust that the Word of God would be precious to you. I have a book, and it's available at the various stations, and it's going for $10. The money goes to Today for Tomorrow in Zimbabwe and the 9 countries where it's spread to. So all of it goes there. If you haven't got any money, just take a book. And if we run out of books, I've got a box more in my car.